a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Good evening, guest of the fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please make sure to subscribe. Help me to the road to 2K. And you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This evening, I'm joined by my special guest, Craig Beasley, who has been on the show previously, and I've been on his show as well. He's the host of Up the Cherries in all departments. This is the match preview. I'll be doing the pre-match talk show, Bournemouth versus Aston Villa, on Saturday at Vitality Stadium. There's a 4:30 p.m. kickoff. Saturday night football. 3 games to go. This is another must-win game for Aston Villa. And it's another difficult test. And it's going to be a hard test away from home. Please talk on the show again, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Chad. And it's a pleasure to be on here again. And, you know, ahead of what is an absolutely massive game for both our sides, as you say. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, I hope that we can both get our desired outcomes. I'm sure that you're looking again at the Champions League. Most definitely. We are dreaming of European football. Of course, we slip up at any point. Yeah. We've got Brentford, who is our arch nemesis. Brighton and Fulham just behind us. So, yeah, exactly. It's huge. It's huge.
Because both teams, we've got both different ambitions.
Yes.
There's a lot of similarities as well. With Unai Emery and Iriola, they're both past managers. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see both managers doing well.
Yeah, most definitely. And I interviewed a while back, this was going back a couple of seasons now, when Iriola was first appointed. I spoke to Mikel Szary, who, of course, has worked and coached Iriola, Mikel Arteta, Unai Emery, Xabi Alonso, also worked with Julian Lopetegui as well. So, yeah, he's his insight was very, very interesting of what makes these managers so good, this high press that they play, the joining of how they... it's more about chemistry, you know. I think whilst Bournemouth and Aston Villa's players are, you know, fantastic, you know, it's also the chemistry that gives the extra 10%.
Well, it is. You've been given an identity now.
Yes, most definitely. And I think Aston Villa have as well. And I think Villa, under Steven Gerrard, he wasn't getting that extra bit from those players. He wasn't getting that chemistry. He wasn't getting those passes, which, you know, made all the difference. And of course, Unai Emery has done that. He's got Villa into the Champions League. You are the only side, I believe, in the knockout stages to beat PSG this year, who I think personally are going to go on and win that competition. So the Villa fans should be very, very proud of this season. It's been a long season. And what you see with a lot of teams, we've seen it with Wolves, we've seen it with Portsmouth. The worst case scenario was Ipswich back at the start of the millennium, where they went up. They finished fifth in their first season and then went down in the second season because they had so many games. Yeah. Villa have played a lot more games than what that Ipswich team did at that time. And you've kept going. You're still in that position. You're still in that hump. Yeah, okay. We're still waiting, and Villa are hoping on a couple of sides slipping up. But it's so congested in there that I'm sure that one or two of those will slip up. Will the three that are needed slip up? I'm not so sure.
There's much noise to have. Teams are like Bournemouth. They're trying to cycle. On that typical top six anymore. Looks at Aston Villa, Newcastle, I mean, possibly, you know, Nottingham Forest are up there. Yeah, so it's changing the Premier League.
Yeah, I think that the traditional top six have been broken up. We've seen Spurs falling, you know, and Manchester United falling. One of those is going to win the Europa League without a shadow of a doubt. So one of those teams you could say are going to be contenders potentially next season. However, the other, which honestly, if you want my honest opinion, I think Spurs might actually win their first trophy in however long. I think Manchester United next season need to be looking over their shoulder.
But even over the poor seasons?
Well, I think it's gradually over time, it's kind of broken up. Manchester City, we've seen it this year, how bad they've been at certain points of the season. And I think they've really struggled. Pep Guardiola needs a whole restructure of that football team. He needs to bring in a whole new set of players and make that them better. Arsenal can't seem to get across the line. That's their main problem. Liverpool.
They're trying to get Arsenal for a second.
Well,
exactly.
It seems to be consistently that they just seem to finish in that second position. Yeah, they just keep falling at it. But what's good, though, as you say, Chad, is because these sides have kind of, it's disrupted that top six, it has opened up the door for ourselves. It's opened up the door for Aston Villa. It's opened up the door for Newcastle. Okay, yes, they do have the Saudi money. But, you know, Eddie Howe, what you would say, and this is no disrespect to Eddie, he's an absolute legend here, but not a traditional manager, as you would see, you know, over the past couple of years. Most of them have been international managers, quite flamboyant, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Could you really say that coming to Bournemouth and doing what he did was being there, done that, got the t-shirt at the top end of the Premier League? So yeah, it's great to see, but I was gutted that day that you went out the Champions League, because I would have loved to have seen you win that.
Well, it is we did it at Elland Pro because we were actually unbeaten at Villa Park,
exactly
in the Champions League, which is an incredible achievement.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think some of the performances were absolutely brilliant. You look at Ollie Watkins, you look at John McGinn, you look at, you know, the defence, Martinez in goal, absolute rock. There is so much quality. And these aren't new players. They're players that have been at Villa for some time, but they've just gradually got better and better.
We've got some real strength in depth.
Yeah. Most definitely now, but with those traditional players, the players that have been there a little while now, they've just improved under Unai Emery rather than what you sometimes see, you know, is that players do stagnate under a certain manager for a period of time. Emery's got players working. Iriola's got players working and improving. So they're two managers going in the right direction with both clubs, and long may both managers stay at respective clubs. I think we might struggle to keep hold of Iriola rather than Villa keeping hold of Emery. I think there's more full of Aston Villa, to be fair.
Well, also, before we carry on, want to congratulate the Aston Villa under-18s winning the FA Youth Cup. They're brilliant achievements. It really shows what such a great academy we've got. I did see that's the fifth time that Aston Villa have won the FA Youth Cup.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, this is something that we aspire to at Bournemouth. We've just built a new training complex. We are looking to build a Category 1 academy, which will be absolutely brilliant for this football club. What you need in football is not buy-in players. You don't need lots of money. What you do need, though, is you need to grow your own players, bring those players through, improve them.
And you've got a good structure in place.
Exactly. And that's what Villa's done. And you can see that with, you know, their success over time. You can look up and down the leagues at teams that have got, you know, great academies. You know, Man City are now bringing through some great talent. But even further down the leagues, for example, I don't know if you followed the story of Reading, where they've had issues. And I've spoken to a lot of people about that category, that situation, because I was actually born and bred there. So I've spoken to a lot of people, including their new chairman, Rob Cohig. And one thing that is being key to keeping that club, you know, afloat is their academy. So it's imperative that Bournemouth get a Category 1 academy. It's imperative that Aston Villa keep succeeding, you know, with their academy, because that is the future of the game. Yeah. That's what's going to improve the
club.
Because
what it is, like, you know, we've got a very bright future ahead of us.
100%. 100%. And that's the sort of thing we need to replicate. So, yeah, full credit to Aston Villa's under-18s. And long may that continue, because it's good to see players and young players picking Aston Villa rather than those big name clubs like Manchester United and Man City and Chelsea and Arsenal. They're going to get more chances at Aston Villa. They will flourish more if they get those chances rather than a club which is going to just keep buying players, and they're just going to be stuck at the door waiting to actually get their opportunity.
Because some of the senior players, like Morgan Rogers and Jacob Ramsey.
Yes.
It's nice that they supported the youngsters, which is nice to see as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, Morgan Rogers, we talked just there about Manchester City. Of course, we loaned Morgan Rogers at Dean Court during our promotion season. I've got to be honest, wasn't overly keen on Morgan at the time. I think, you know, he struggled a little bit. However, what Unai Emery's done with Morgan Rogers is phenomenal. And sometimes it needs that manager. Of course, we didn't have Iriola at that spell. We had Scott Parker. But what Emery has done with Morgan Rogers has improved him as a player.
He's got in the England squad. He's redeveloped his game.
He has, yeah. He's reading the game a lot better. His passing's improved. He's got a great eye for goal now. Yeah, don't get me wrong. He got a couple with us. But, you know, he's matured. And he wouldn't have matured if he was stuck waiting for his opportunity at Manchester City much longer. He had to go, and, you know, he made the right call in going to a club like Aston Villa, who can bring him on. And, you know, it's great. You know, if we had Iriola back then, could we have bought him on? Yeah, I think we probably could have bought him on, like Aston Villa have done. But would he have flourished under Scott Parker? No, Not at all.
It's on the Unai Emery University.
Exactly. And this is what's great about these Basque managers, is that, like Mikel Iksarri said, and he shared with me a book, and this book has got like 100 tactics in there. It's really, really in depth. It's really interesting to read. Mikel doesn't speak very much English at all. His English is very, very poor. But, you know, his philosophy is explained in that. And the philosophy that he imposes onto Unai Emery, Iriola, Alonso, Lopetegui, Arteta, that is evident in that book.
I did see that actually at the Youth Cup game.
Yes.
There was 25,000 fans, which is a great attendance, you know, supporting the youngsters there. You seen the goal by, was it Brannigan? Have you seen the goals?
I haven't, no. No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, the
great goal, but there was a youngster called Brannigan.
Mm-hmm.
He's one to watch out for as well.
Definitely, definitely. And that's what's great about, you know, having your own academies, bringing through those players, saves you having to spend on those players. Those players know the coach, they know the setup. That's where we need to get to. We need to make ourselves a Category 1 academy and attract those sort of players to AFC Bournemouth.
So I'm going to talk about the Tottenham game. So Aston Villa's fixture's been moved. So what's your thoughts of that game being moved? What do you think about it?
Friday night. Our game against Manchester City has also been moved. I'm not actually sure when it's been moved to be honest. The reason why it's been moved, of course, is because of Manchester City's FA Cup game, which, you know, the FA Cup game used to be after the season's concluded.
Yeah.
I think personally, it should still be at that point. It should be at the end of the year. And I know why they're doing this. It's because they are trying to stop it clashing with the Champions League final. No English clubs anyway. But at the same time, I just think it's unfair on a club like us and like Aston Villa. Because no doubt why the Spurs game's been moved, it's not because of Villa. It's because Spurs playing in the Europa League final.
Is that Big Six narrative again?
Exactly. It's what
they're not even in the Big Six, yeah?
Well, yeah, to be honest, they're in the bottom six. But, you know, it's really annoying. And do you know what? We played, and I'm going to have a little moan about it now, Chad. Bear with me on this. But VAR, against Manchester United, Evan Nilsson slipped. We'll say it slipped. Yes, he did try to challenge for the ball, but it slipped. You can see it. His feet have gone from beneath him. The referee booked him. Now, at the end of the day, I don't think it was a booking, but, you know, we go with it. And then the referee has been called over by VAR, who didn't ever mention a slip. What they mentioned was a two-footed tackle. Alan Smith on the commentary was actually watching it and sent Evan Nilsson off. What, lo and behold, Manchester United should have been reduced to 10 men themselves when Ugarte was holding Dango Ouattara, and then they scored a goal, you know, which shouldn't have been a goal. To be fair with you, Chad, I think, you know, hand on heart, it should, you know, there needs to be caution exercised. His hand was in an offside position. Now, the thing is you don't score a goal with your hand. But we've seen so many of those given as offside. So I thought, well, if we're playing with consistency here, it should be offside. Nope, didn't draw lines or anything. At the end of the day, it's unfair because there needs to be some level of consistency. If it works for, and we've had goals chalked off because players' hands just being in offside position. But, you know, in all honesty, it was annoying as well because, we was happy with it. But the actual red card was rescinded 2 days later. Now that's no good because we've already lost those 2 points against Manchester United.
It's too late.
Exactly. And I agree with you. It's the Big Six narrative. Manchester United are again in the bottom six, like Spurs.
Other London teams. Yeah.
Even Wolves are above them now.
Yeah. Liverpool didn't get into the picture changes. But Spurs were United, they're not even in the Europa League final yet.
Exactly. But it's just unfair. They're preempting it. So, you know, why should Villa be penalised? Because Spurs, you know, have been playing poorly all season and they managed to get to this final. So, I can understand your frustration. You know, let's be honest. If West Ham get their act together, those two could finish just above the bottom three. And let's be honest, it's a poor bottom three. They're three not very good sides, Chad. So next season, if Leeds, which I expect them to do a lot better than the bottom three this year, Burnley, I expect them to do a lot better. And I think the third team, to be honest, I'm going to say this, I think it will be Bristol City, which will be a little bit of a wild card. I'm not sure too good. But those two, Manchester United and Spurs, if they don't get their act together, they could be in big, big trouble next season.
If it's the other way around, see, these clubs, they wouldn't do it for teams like Villa. The thing is, like, you look at that Liverpool game, there's a bit of a congested period of fixtures sometime. It might have been maybe in February, I can't remember it was, but and we have to pay the price because of that.
Well, it's the problem is, Chad, is that as we've seen with the Super League, and I really am getting on my soapbox now. As we've seen with the Super League, they don't want us there. They don't want us in their group. The reason being is that group, it makes them money. And making money is all they're all about. It's, forget the sport. Forget, you know, if Villa beat them, you know, fair and square on a pitch, or if Bournemouth beat them fair and square on a pitch. They're not interested in that. What they're interested in is making as much money in the coffers as possible. And it's just unfair. It's just unfair.
And people are going to have to cut to their plans. The plans are not to, you know, not to go to work. They're not able to go, unfortunately.
Well, the Super League would have been an absolute disaster. You know, how can you have a Super League that is basically a closed shop? If you have a Super League, fair enough. Okay, set up a Super League, you know, but make sure that there's promotion and relegation out of that Super League. You know, there has to be, you know, teams getting knocked out of that Super League and put into it. But it was a terrible idea. And to be honest, the Champions League, why they have done the league format is to oppose that. So effectively, it's a little bit like a Super League. And we've seen in the Champions League, you know, that in the group stage, that look at what Villa did. You know, Villa qualified automatically for the knockout stages. Look at what Real Madrid did. They didn't. Manchester City didn't. So there was teams, and it shows that, you know, Super League, all they're worried about is it being closed shop without the likes of me and you in that group. And it's sad, and it's that will ruin football. And I don't think it'll ever pass. I don't think it'll ever go through.
What do we need to do? Do we need to get a few of our podcasters together?
Yes.
We can do like a debate about it under the podcast.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, give me a call for that, because I am very, very, very vocal against that, because it was a disgrace that they even considered it. It was a kick in the teeth for football that they even suggested it. But they want to do it because they want to keep the money to themselves. They don't want me and you and our clubs to have that money, unfortunately.
So, I'm talking about the game then. So, what do you expect from Saturday?
Well, of course, I didn't really expect us to beat Arsenal, you know, like we did. I did predict the right result, but it was more with my heart than my head, in all honesty. When I saw the lineup for us, there was a couple of concerns. You know, I was a little bit concerned. you know, that we started Tavernier. But I think that the game, you know, we really grew into the game. We started off a little slowly. However, we gradually grew. The goal that we conceded was a typical Kepa mistake. The goalkeeper had come out too far. Zabania's communication with Kepa wasn't particularly very good. And this is the thing that worries me. We've got a goalkeeper called Mark Travers, who's on loan at Middlesbrough. I really like Mark. I really rate him. An Irish
very good shot stopper.
He's a brilliant shot stopper. He's excellent. He really, really, really is a good shot stopper. The problem is he can't play out from the back with his feet, which is what Kepa does. But Kepa does some very, very odd, bizarre things. It's a bit disappointing that he conceded that goal. His positioning was absolutely terrible. Yeah, really, really disappointed with that. But we gradually grew into the game. Semenya had a great run on that right-hand side. Won a throw-on in a dangerous position. And I don't know if you've seen the goal where Semenya's thrown the ball in.
Oh, brilliant. I watched it, yeah.
Dean Howson just glanced. It wasn't a strong header. It was just a tap, move the ball in the right direction over David Raya, 1-0. 1-1, and you know it was all to play for. And then
you can cause us some problems.
Well, to be honest, we haven't really seen that much from Semenya. We've never seen any big throw-ins like that. That's really the first time we've seen that. But the second goal was exquisite. Again, you know, great play. And Evan Nilsson, that back post. You know, he's done that a couple of times this season. And, you know, it shows. Kirkez is a fantastic player. He really is.
He really loves to go forward. He constantly always going forward.
I would love to say that he'll be here next season. The honest truth, though, is he probably won't be. And the main reason being is because Liverpool or Real Madrid or Arsenal will pluck him away from us. It is what it is, really. Kirkez, excellent. Probably the best left-back in the Premier League at the moment, Chad.
He's got brilliant cross on him.
He has, yeah. Absolutely fantastic cross. He knows where the goal is. He knows how to get into right positions. He's a all-round good left-back. We're not going to be able to keep him, in all honesty, to be honest, Chad. So we have to plan for the future. But in fact, I've spoken to Julia about Julia Sola. I spoke to the Clive Tilsley of Argentine football, Alejo Rivera. I was trying to get his name right there, Alejo Rivera. And Alejo said that Julio Sola is actually just as good, if not better, than Kirkez. Now, I highly doubt that, but if he's 75% or 50% of the player Kirkez is, he's going to be a very, very good left back. He's going to be a Premier League left back. So I hope Alejo Rivera is right. He's effectively the Clive Tilsley of Argentine football, and a glowing reference for Sola like that, you know, means that we should be fine if Kirkez does go as I expect him to.
So, from Aston point of view, all the remaining fixtures that we've got, this one worries me the most. I think I've thought away from home. We've got an awful record away from home. We're good at home, but it's the away form.
Yeah, I'm just having a little look at your fixtures now. And of course, you've got Spurs and Manchester United. You have got the two of the bottom six. We're going to keep calling them that. Two of the bottom six in there. So we are your highest placed opponent in the last three. But, you know, I've got no doubts about it. Villa are a dangerous side. You know, it's going to be a dangerous game for AFC Bournemouth. You've been playing really, really well all season. It's just really how we put ourselves on this game. Now, we're in this category, and I said this actually on our show. You know, recently we've had been able to dictate the style of play that we can actually impose on other clubs. Under Eddie Howe previously, we couldn't really do that. We had to kind of, you know, stop and thwart teams from playing their game. And that worked, you know, we had to kind of counteract. Do we impose ourselves on this game, or do we try and counteract what Unai Emery does? Mm-hmm. I think that both managers are probably going to try and play a similar sort of game. And
I think so,
it's going to make it very, very difficult to predict. And
also, I think Watkins, I mean, he's got a real plot to prove.
Oh.
I think in this game, he needs to take his chances. He missed quite a few chances, I think, in the last game. But with Rashford out, he's got a real point to prove.
I think he needs to step it up, to be perfectly honest. I think, you know, to go to that next level, which, you know, he's got the ability to do. We saw that in the Euros. We've seen that for Aston Villa over the past couple of seasons. Just maybe needs to step it up a little bit. You know, I can't see, and this is my honest opinion, that if he was to jump ship and go to a club like Man City, like Jack Grealish did.
Or Arsenal.
I can't see how that's going to be a benefit to him. You know, I can't see him, you know, improving with a new set of players. What's working well is working well at Aston Villa. And what he needs to do is really stick it out, make sure that he improves with those players around him, and that will eventually make him a better player overall.
Yes. I think Aston Villa approaching this guy. Mm-hmm. They need to approach it like we're at home, playing that same way, but obviously at the volatility. That's what I think we need to do.
Yeah. I think it's... Teams don't like coming to the Vitality, or as I like to call it, Dean Courts still.
Well, even though it's a small stadium, it generates some real noise.
It does. Yeah, it does. And, you know, I've been at Dean Court, of course, when, you know, we was getting low attendance figures, you know, the fours, the 5,000s, which is half the capacity of the stadium. But, you know, when we was in the bottom division in League Two, but we still made some sound then. We still got behind the squad loyally. And, you know, it has got better. There is times when it's quieter. I guess those fans that haven't been there as long as, you know, I have, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's glory hunters or anything like that. But what I am saying is that, you know, when you've seen the journey from the start to where we are now, you know, it's something different. So, yeah, it's going to be an intense atmosphere, especially as we know what's resting on this. We expected, in all honesty, I didn't expect us to beat Arsenal. We're now in pole position to get that European spot. And we need to make sure that we get behind the squad and do that. Our last game of the season.
I think you would deserve it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. We have got a tough running. You know, I don't think that this is an easy game against Aston Villa. I'd much rather a lower side down the table. I'd rather maybe even Fulham than Aston Villa. Definitely not Brentford. Whatever, never Brentford. They always beat us. But, you know, I'd rather a team lower down the table than Aston Villa. We've also got Manchester City. Manchester City seem to be firing on all cylinders at the moment. But there's no reason why we can't get a result up at the Etihad. If it comes down to it and we're in pole position by that last game of the season, I would be very, very, very disappointed if we was to miss out on Europe. That game is against Leicester City. And it would mean that we've done great against Aston Villa and Man City. And, you know, it would be absolutely devastating to lose it on that. So if we're going to lose that European place, hey, it's going to be in one of these two games.
Because of Villa, it's a must-win game as well.
Oh, 100%. So really,
yeah,
100%. And I think Villa have to go for this. They have to try and win this match. European football is still there. You can still get it and grab it with both hands. So I don't think it's beyond Aston Villa doing that. I think that it probably will take winning all three games, but you're more than capable of winning all three games considering the last two. It's crazy me even saying that, you know, considering the last two, you know, you get through this unscathed, you know, I would put lots of money on you beating both Tottenham and Manchester United.
The thing that I think the game could be won is in the wide areas. I think Bournemouth caused a lot of problems. The looks of Clive or Tara.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be won. And the way we play very narrow. So I think that's the way you can sort of have it.
I completely agree with you there, Chad. And I think, you know, those wide areas for us, Semenyo's fantastic. Really, really strong player. Quick player, cuts in the inside as well. He's going to be a handful. Dango Ouattara is an interesting one, as you might have seen all season. His performance against Nottingham Forest was unbelievable. He turned into prime Messi for a day. But he was played in a position that he doesn't normally play in, which is up front. In fact, you know, as crazy as it sounds, when Enes Unal was injured along with Evan Nilsson, you know, I was panicking. You know, the second time, you know, it looked like we was going to be without Evan Nilsson after that Manchester United game, I was like, oh, well, Dongo can play there, or Dango, as we call him. Dango. Everybody argues about what he's how to pronounce his name. But, you know, his game against Nottingham Forest, where he's headering the ball and, you know, and scored that hat-trick, was unbelievable. You know, he was unplayable that day. Dango on the left-hand side, he's one of those players who, and you probably had them at Villa, where they run down the wing and nine things that they do, you think, well, what are they trying to achieve there? What are they actually trying to get at? And then you have the one moment where he does something out of this world that, you know, nobody expected. They've seen him play long balls, short balls, you know, miss kicking the ball all game long. And then he just picks it out and, you know, gets it into the far corner. You know, to be honest, the other day, you know, he took a free kick from an area where you didn't expect him to actually get a shot on goal. You expected it to go. And then it was just like, how has he just hit the bar with that? It was just bizarre. But this is Dango for you. He will do the most crazy things that you don't expect in any moment. So you have to kind of consider him and think, well, we just have to take those nine mistakes that he brings on.
Well, Jim, what about this podcast as well? I've been reading some bad news from Villa Park. It's good news for you, though, Craig. It looks like Yuri Tiedemans could be out for the rest of the season. It's from David Ornstein. I read it on The Athletic.
I hope he's all right. You know, the main thing is I don't like to see any player get injured and be ruled out for any period of time.
He's been on player of the season.
Oh, most definitely. In fact, you know, I would rather he be playing than to miss out, you know, three vital games. And, you know, honestly, I take no pleasure in a player being out for. So, yeah, I hope he's all right. I hope he recovers. And, you know, okay, yeah, it is going to benefit us on the day, no doubt. But, you know, hey, we have to beat what is in front of us if we are going to.
Well, we got Onana. I think we're going to have Onana and Kamara. You can either do that, so Onana and Kamara. Then Morgan Rogers could go into that number 10 position.
And he'll love to score against us. I can't be honest, Chad. You know, he would love to get a goal against us. So, yeah. It's still going to be a difficult game without Yuri Tiedemans. Hey, you know, I'm not, like I say, I wish him well. You know, I'd rather he be playing and hope he gets better soon. But we have to beat what's in front of us. Yeah, it might benefit us as a team, but at the same time, you know, my honest opinion is, you know, I'd rather be playing. Hey, you know, I looked at that Arsenal team last weekend and I thought, well, they're playing the full strength side. They're really going for this. And, you know, to be fair, I was quite happy with that because we have to, if we want to get a European spot, we're going to have to beat teams when they are at their fullest. You know, hey, we're not Man United. We're not hoping that, you know, a team is depleted, you know, like they did with getting Evan Nilsson sent off. Hey, we'd rather,
he scored against Villa.
He did, yeah. He did in that first game.
Yeah,
he's a brilliant player. He's a brilliant player. I doubted him at first. He didn't score, you know, and it seemed like he was a little bit shot shy. It seemed like he was lacking a bit of confidence. As soon as the first goal went in, that confidence rose and it went up and it improved. But yeah, the first couple of games, he was a little bit shaky. Now, you know, he's a fantastic player. He's a real bully in that box. He's a strong player, not aggressive.
In the box.
Yeah. He's in the box when you need him to be, but he's also quite creative as well. He's a good player with his feet. But it's his strength, really. He's not pushed off the ball very much. He is a bit of a traditional, old school player. If you compare him to anything, where, you know, a lot of players nowadays, they get touched, they go to the ground. Evan Nilsson's not like that.
So what should be Bournemouth's game plan? What do you think they're going to set up?
To be honest, I think we're going to set up how we have all season. And I know this is going to sound very, very, very boring. And people might be thinking, oh, well, that's the, you know, of course he's going to say that. I don't think we need to really change a winning side. We've already beaten Arsenal. We've done the double over them. I think we keep it as it is. You know, there is arguments that, you know, we maybe should have played David Brooks instead of Marcus Tavernier. Those arguments, I think, you know, could be put to bed. Antoine Semenyo, we could have started him personally. Do we start? Well, that's the thing is, of course, when Semenyo come on, that's when the game turned. So maybe we do change that. So maybe Tavernier out, Semenyo on. So yeah, I think we're going to be looking at Kepa in goal, Kirke's left back, House and Zabarnier, maybe Adam Smith right back. Arejo he's a very, very good player. He's very, very quick.
Playing against Arsenal.
Well, he plays against Arsenal. He's very, very quick, but I think he's a little bit naive. He's only a youngster, though. He signed from Barcelona, so he's definitely got some quality there, but Mexican international. Tyler Adams and Lewis Cook in those defensive midfield positions. Watara, you've got to play him on the left. Kluivert in the middle. And I'm going to go with Semenyo on the right-hand side with Evan Nielsen up front. So, yeah, the one change, I would say, but it's going to be the same formation as we've played all season.
Is it a 4-2-3-1?
Yes, yeah, it is, yeah. Effectively, you know, Semenyo and Watara will get forwards. Kluivert will be sat just behind Evan Nielsen. Adams and Cook will kind of fill that midfield void in front of the defence. But, you know, our defence, look at that, you know, Kirkez, House and Zabarnier. And Arejo, I think he will come good. The honest fact, though, I think, you know, he's a little bit inexperienced of Premier League football at the moment. But he will get there. He's a very quick player, but you know he needs to more focus on.
And Jabrin used the long throw-ins. Just Kirkez, he can throw them, can't he?
He can, yeah, he can. Probably not as far as what Semenyo did, that throw on for Dean Howson, just to kind of. Yeah. Flick his head at it and glance it into the back of the net. That was something else. So, yeah, I would say, Kirk has got great throw on him, but at the same time, nobody really expected what Semenyo did to me.
Well, for Aston Villa point of view, I mentioned Morgan Rodgers. He'd be dangerous for you.
Oh, 100%.
I think Jacob Ramsey suits this guy. Moving the ball to Torres Vice, he's carrying the ball forward.
Yes.
And also, Ian Matson, him drawing him forward.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the last few guys, Matson. I'm really impressed with him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And from corners as well. You need to get good deliveries on like, you know, the set pieces. Take advantage of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's. I think this is going to be a really, really difficult game. It's going
to
be two teams that are, you know, play a similar sort of style of football going against each other. You know, there's so many similarities, like you say, in these two squads. You know, I think Villa's is a little bit more established than Bournemouth's. I think that's fair to say. But at the same time, you know, we've got a great chance and, you know, we are going to cause problems. Can we get the points that we need to keep ourselves above, you know, that pack behind us, Brentford, Brighton, Fulham? Of course, we both need these points vitally.
Does it? And I'm going to ask you, how much of a loss is it for Aston Villa without Marcus Rashford at this stage of the season?
Oh, crikey, yeah. I was surprised that Aston Villa took a chance on Marcus Rashford. I think Marcus Rashford has struggled at Manchester United. This is not his doing, though, in all honesty. I think a lot of it has to be pointed at Erik ten Hag and then Ruben Amorim at United. I don't think that they've utilised him in the right way to get the best out of him. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, you could put Messi Let's look at it this way. You could put Messi in Accrington Stanley's team. Is Messi going to improve Accrington Stanley that much? Or no, is he
a one-man team?
Exactly. And I think Manchester United, the players around Rashford, is quite clear, considering their league position, are poor. They are really, really poor. There's only one player that I'd really take from Manchester United in the Bournemouth squad, and that's not, it's not Bruno Fernandes, which everybody expected it to be, is Kobbie Mainoo. He's the only player that I'd really want from Manchester United. But I think that, you know, you put Rashford in a very, very poor side, he plays poorly. It's like Messi would play poorly in an Accrington Stanley side. Whereas you put Rashford in a side, an Aston Villa side, which is well organised, well oiled, you know, knows what they're doing, the link up play is great, then it's no surprise that what he's done. But I was surprised initially that you took him on board, considering the season that he's had.
Because since he's been playing, he's been a real impact.
Yes.
And his consistency. Since he's joined Villa, he has been a consistent performer.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I think, you know, he's a very, very good player. So, yeah, Marcus Rashford. I would like to see him leave Manchester United. I think that's the only way he's going to improve as a football player. He needs to
be at Villa next season?
I'd rather him be anywhere but Manchester United because, it would be good if he went back to Villa. You know, you guys are really taken to him. So it would make sense. But hey, as long as he's playing for a side which is well established, you know, there was Bournemouth fans that turned around and said, oh, we wouldn't want Marcus Rashford here. I'm not sure there's many Bournemouth fans that are saying we wouldn't want Marcus Rashford here now.
Do you know what the link is with Marcus Rashford? He's got experience. He's an experienced goal scorer. Mm-hmm. He scores when the moments matter. He's not producing in the big moments.
Yeah. He's a big moment player, like you say, Chad, and he knows where the goal is. He knows how to get, you know, the best out of his game when he's in a good side. That's the big thing for me. That's why he's not succeeded recently at Manchester United. Forget all this attitude problem and all that rubbish. There's no attitude problem with Marcus Rashford. You could say there was with, you know, other players in the past at Manchester United, like Ravel Morrison, I can't remember the other guy who, you know, went to France. Attitude problem there. There's no attitude problem with Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford was just in a very poor Manchester United side where he wasn't flourishing because of the players around him, because I hate to say it for Man United fans, but the coaches haven't been very good.
No. Also, as a Bournemouth fan, do you think Iriola should get more credit from the media?
Do you know what? I'm quite happy him playing under the radar. The main reason being is we've had all this talk about Spurs. I know that I spoke to Cecil from Arsenal Fan TV last week, and I asked him about, because if there's one team I think in this whole country that Iriola could walk into and do a really good job at from the team that they've got at the moment, it's Arsenal. Yes, it's great that, you know, he's doing so well. But hey, I'd much rather him be under the radar because
he shouldn't be ignored. What he's done really, though, you know, he's brought a good brand attacking style football to Bournemouth. Which is nice to watch as well.
Oh yeah, most definitely. But please, the Premier League please, please, please ignore Andoni Iriola for however long you want, because we want him here next season. I absolutely love the man. I did doubt him at first. It wasn't doubting because of his tactics. I thought his tactics were there. I thought he's a really, really, you know, what he did at Velocano worked. His tactics were there. I thought that he was coming into a squad, changed the tactics, and he didn't have the players to play those that way. And I thought because he wasn't willing to deviate from that, we had to make the change. How wrong was I? What actually happened against Burnley was everything just clicked into place. We improved. And then, you know, as we've seen, Andoni Iriola's whole style, you know, has taken off. So,
and yeah. You've beaten some great teams. City, that's a good result, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've been to Old Trafford twice, won. We've been to the Emirates and won there and beaten them at home. We're the only team to actually do the double over Arsenal this season. In fact, they've lost 4 games and we've beaten them twice. So that's always quite nice. You know, we've beaten Man City, like you say, Chad. You know, Man City have been the Achilles heel. Or I shouldn't really call them the Achilles heel, because we don't expect to beat Man City. We expect to beat Brentford, but we can't beat them. But, you know, we managed to beat Man City this season. It's been a fantastic season. What Iriola's done is he's improved year on year. If he's here next season, which I think he will be, where do I expect us to be? I wouldn't be surprised if we was looking at least the Europa League, considering...
Well, that would be amazing, that would.
Oh, to be honest, Chad, it would be absolutely incredible.
But even if we don't get Champions League, if we get, say, Europa League, we'll see the Europa League. It's still a good competition. The Europa League's a prestige competition.
Oh, most definitely. And it would be improving year on year. You know, hey, the Europa League, Aston Villa will probably win that. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, what you've done in the Champions League is incredible this season. But, you know, the Europa League, seriously, I think you could probably win that. The Europa Conference League, you know, if we get that, should we be upset? Hey, we might be a little bit upset, but hey, it's a competition that we can actually win. It's a competition. You know, honestly, if we are playing like we do have this season and we get the Europa Conference League, we could win that competition, and that would just be incredible. In fact, maybe that should be more of the agenda. Hey, let's go into a competition which we can win.
So, Craig, can you give me a score prediction?
It's a difficult one because, of course, you need the points to get into those, get further up the league, get closer to those Champions League places. We need them to stay within the European places. A draw probably won't do anything for us, but I think a draw is probably what we'll get. I'm going to go for 2-2 again. It was 2-2 last season. Yeah, it was 2-2 last season here. I can see that happening again. It's not going to be a benefit for us. It's not going to be a benefit for you. But sometimes these things do cancel themselves out and you have to go, well, it is what it is. But yeah, I've got my fingers crossed that we can get the 3 points, you know, and I'm sure that you're really, really hoping that you can get the 3 points as well. So, I can see it being a draw. 2-2.
I'm going to go 2-1 Villa.
2-1.
Yeah, before we finish, I'm going to just a few comments.
Yeah, of
just
course.
Just before no the rest of you. So the dribble could get that. So a little look, see what comment. Thank you for your comments. Yeah. So good luck, yeah. Huggins. Thank you, Michael. Congratulations to you, Chad. A fantastic night, fundraising for Icons Children's Hospice, raising over the grand total of over £2,000. We're willing to make a great night, and also thank you, everyone, for all the generous donations. And it's great that I've given back to a great cause, which is very close to my heart. As I used to be a service user at Icons. After all these years, it was meant to be. And it's something which me, and thank you, Michael. It's something which me and Michael are very proud of. And we've got Jake Craig, a great guest to have on. Enjoy this. Yeah, I always enjoy talking to Craig.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jake. And likewise, I really, really enjoy speaking to yourself, Chad. And yeah, it's always a pleasure, as always.
Then we've got Mark Huggins again. You're going to upset many Arsenal fans saying Spurs are going to win a cup.
Yeah, to be honest... yeah, Spurs win a European trophy the season that Arsenal, you know, get close. Sorry, not sorry. Well, you know, I think
typical.
I honestly can't see Manchester United doing it. Hey, I wish you'd got past PSG, because in all honesty, I could see Aston Villa in the final if you had done. It's just such a shame. You know, they're such a strong side, PSG. I think they'll probably go on and win it themselves. But, you know, I would have, you know, let's be honest, they've done all three English sides in the competition. Yeah. But I think Villa gave them the biggest scare.
Well, thank you, Craig. Come on my show again.
Yeah, not a problem at all. My pleasure as always. And thank you so much for inviting me, Chad.
Well, thank you everyone for watching. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. Make sure to hit the like button. Make sure to smash all those likes. Make sure to give it a share. And if you're listening via audio, make sure to leave us a good review. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much, Craig, for your time.
Thank you so much, Chad. Thank you for inviting me. And a pleasure, as always, to talk to you.
I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever and Up the Villa.